This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you.
And with love, we are here.
Yeah!
Yes!
Yes! We're here.
We're here. I have the wonderful Tanika with me today. My goodness, welcome everybody. You're in for such a treat. I have this amazing goddess here who holds such a sacred space for people. She is a spiritual midwife. She is a holistic therapist. She is a child development specialist, has a nature school, is also a yin teacher, teaches yoga, and I mean, just so much more. So I'm so excited to hold this space with her and hear about her story. So welcome.
Thank you. Wow, yes. I feel so fancy.
Oh, you are fancy.
Like, really?
You are. You definitely hold quite the space. And you bring a vibe, too.
The vibe.
So you bring the vibe.
That's
you
good.
Bring it all. So. Yeah, so how are you? Check in with you. Welcome.
I'm good. I'm feeling good. I got my tea. It's been a good day.
Yes.
It's been a big day, you know, all the emotions, everybody, all the family things.
Yes.
All the things, every day.
All the things, yeah.
But that's life, every day.
And that's life. And dealing with different energies, which we were talking about that.
Big time.
Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to absorb energy that you're around. Pick it up even when you don't mean to. It's like, you know, being someone who holds such a sacred space, but it's a lot of people come to you for advice or for help, and when they leave you, they probably feel like a huge weight is off their shoulders, but you walk away and probably feel like, whoa.
Sometimes
I gotta cleanse myself.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just the energy I was picking up today. So feeling that, naming that. But so tell us about yourself. I mean,
oh my goodness, what to say? Oh, wow. First of all, I need to give a shout out to Nora. This morning, I was out with the nature school, and we always ask kids, like, what do you have going on today? What are you doing? You know, later on today after the nature school, and Nora came up to me and she was like, well, what are you doing after the nature school? And I was like, well, actually, I'm going to be on the Celestial Goddess Podcast. She's like, ooh, can you write that down for me? I want to listen to it. I said, it's more of like a grown-up podcast. She's like, oh, I listen to grown-up things all the time. So she's seven, so she's cool.
She's
We're
cool.
Good. We're
she's,
good.
She's vibing.
I said this will be perfect for you then.
This will be perfect.
So, hey, Nora.
Hey, Nora. We love you, girl. Look at you ascending.
That's right.
No, I love it. Kids younger and younger, too. Mm-hmm. They're just like more tapped in, more connected.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you get to work with children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you deliver them into this planet, this earth plane.
Yeah. That was a huge thing that we did not expect with the nature school, that families who I helped with their birds, that those kids would come to the nature school. And so that's like, whenever that happens, it's
incredible.
Really crazy. So there's kids who I'm like, oh, I was there when you were in your mom's belly growing. I was there when you came out. And now here you are 3.5, 4, 5 years old. And now you're vibing at our nature school. So
I love
that's
that.
Cool. It's totally
that
awesome.
That's so amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would love if you could just kind of break down for some people, you know, and Nora and other amazing people out there.
Like
kind of like this spiritual midwife thing and this thing you do about delivering babies and a different kind of setting.
Well, I've kind of been moving away from midwifery.
Is that really what it's called?
That's really what it is. Yeah, midwifery. Yeah, totally. Yep.
Midwifery.
Midwifery, yep.
Made my dog.
I've kind of been moving a little bit away from it because I'm just finding that I want to be able to hold space for more people in a different capacity. And our community has some incredible midwives. One of my really good friends, Tara, with Foothills Midwifery, she's unbelievable. The space that she holds for families that are welcoming babies, and she has a birth center in Enumclaw. It's just it's awesome. And I feel, I mean, I know it's like, I had to wait until somebody came along. Well, I kind of did feel a little bit like, you know, we need to have more really good midwives, you know, and Tara is so amazing. Mercedes is coming up. She just got her license. So I'm kind of moving a little bit out of midwifery, just because I want to hold more space. Because when you're a midwife, it is such a, oh, you are holding space for the birthing person and for the child. You are within the veil, you know, during that birth. You're at the precipice of life Source. And death.
Yeah.
And it is a very intense place to be. And it takes an incredible amount of feeling very grounded and very comfortable with yourself, with your access to knowledge when that knowledge is needed, and also to be able to witness people, because sometimes things aren't always as imagined when it comes to birth.
Yeah.
And so it is just way huge. You're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, I went 7 years, was never off call in 7 years.
Wow.
So it's just, it is very intense and awesome and an incredible responsibility. And I've shifted a little bit because the type of space that I like to hold with each person that I'm serving is so connected. You know, it's not just me like saying, well, you need to do this and you need to eat that. No, this is us sharing space and sharing trust, because I really feel like to share a space for birth, there needs to be complete transparent trust.
You Absolutely. Know,
that's what there has to be, because birth is not actually a mechanical process. I mean, that's what the media and thing, like, oh, you're going to push and you're going to dilate. And that's not what it is at all. When a person is in labor, they are literally having to connect with aspects of themselves, past parts of themselves, current parts of themselves. And it's almost like they're transcending different levels until they have this birth. And so sometimes it can be traumatic. Sometimes birth can be traumatic. It's not the fault of the hospital, the doctor, the midwife, or anybody. It's just that you have to completely release yourself. You have to completely surrender yourself to have a natural birth. And that's an intense place to be. And
And you did it.
I was there for many intensities. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just incredible. Like, you assisted so many home births. Like, do you know, maybe, like, can you count how many home births you've been a part of?
Probably around 700 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And have you had any crazy experiences of, like, I mean, like you said, life or death? I mean, people couldn't even imagine having a baby in general, but at home.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, there was a few circumstances where, where things get intense. You know, in all of those births, I mean, there's been a few hospital transfers, but it really still comes down to just holding the space and the trust that you have with the person, you know, to be able to look at them and say, this is what you need to do right now, or else this is not going to be okay. That's a really, there must be trust there in order for that to, you know, happen. And sometimes we have to have those discussions, and it doesn't mean we're going to the hospital. It just means this still needs to happen right now. There's no alternative. So whatever is your blockage, it needs to get handled in this moment. This is your calling. This is your time to meet that challenge, or else this isn't going to go the way that you want.
Yeah.
You're the determiner right now.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. And you name like blockage. Do you feel like if people are hanging on, like I'm thinking about energy blocks or like in your chakras, right? If there's like trauma or things you can't fully release consciously, does that, do you think, affects the baby and how it's delivered? Like the mom can't relax or, I don't know. I mean, I've never had a baby and I'm interested in home birth.
The answer is yes. All of the above. And I've had so many years kind of, you know, trying to figure out medically and psychologically all these things that are happening so that I can help the people that are, you know, people that are having their babies through these things. But all I can say is you just have to help them meet the energy. Just if you create a sacred space where they feel completely safe, which the only way, in my opinion, that the space can feel that safe to a person is if for whatever unspoken or spoken reason, there is trust. And then they can access those challenges because they're in a safe space with people that they trust. But sometimes perhaps there's, you know, somebody, I've had births where the grandma comes in the room and shit goes sideways, you know, and I'm like, okie dokie, we got some work to do there, you know, just things that people just don't think, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is a sacred space, and there's definitely energy involved and different levels of energy. And it also doesn't mean, I mean, there's some people that, you know, it doesn't mean that if you have just this, you know, fast, smooth, you know, birth that you didn't have to overcome some internal challenges. It doesn't mean that. Everyone's journey in life is different. So I can just relate it to my life, you know, birth and early childhood and middle teenage years for our family, not the challenge for me. Just saying. Was not the challenge for me. Now, fire that almost burned our house down, husband's cancer diagnosis, kids really, really struggling, our own kids, to figure out how to manage all that. Now that, this is a challenge now, you know.
Right.
For the first time, really, in my adult life, and I've lived a lot of adult life, you know. So for some people, the challenge presents itself in birth just because it is going to be the hardest thing that they've actually ever physically done and the hardest thing they've ever emotionally done. And what I have recognized is that I want to be able to hold space, in a sense, like a midwife, as a spiritual midwife, for people that are meeting those challenges in their life.
Everyday life. Because there are challenges every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And birth is just one of the cycles of life.
Exactly.
Like, we're just always here creating that sense of creation.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the long version of the midwifery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been involved in that for a long time, 15 years. I mean, if we're going up to current, you know, 15 years. And what happened was, you know, Jackie and Jezrin?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Jackie contacted me on Facebook through the Nature School website. And she said, I just wrote this book and I would love to gift it to your Nature School. She has this awesome book called Love, right? And she wanted to gift it to our Nature School. We'd never met her before. So she says, you know, can we come out? We're in Buckley. We see that you're in Sumner. We're like, yeah, come out on a Saturday. It'll be great. So she comes out with her husband, brings a copy of the book for us to share with our nature school. And her husband, Jezrin, brings one of his Tibetan singing bowls. And I love to know about things.
Yes.
I am a knowledge seeker. I love it. I take all the online classes and all the in-person classes, and I'm just all over the place because that's what I like.
Yeah.
And so he presented me with something that I knew zero about. It had never been presented to me. I didn't know anything about it. And it just so happened that my cousin was over that day. my cousin was over, all our kids were there, and he said, well, you know, could I play the bowl on you? Just one single bowl. And I was like, yeah, sure, you know. And so my oldest son, who's, you know, kind of seems like a tough guy, but he's like the tough guy with the very soft heart in the center. So he played the bowl on him, and he was like, whoa, yeah, that stirred some stuff. And we're talking about just one gong.
Wow.
You know? And then we move around. He played it on my cousin CJ. CJ was standing upright, and he played it on his back and, like, moved it up and down his back. And CJ was like, dang, like, whoa, like, that is, you know, he's all stretching, like, that was just one pass. And, like, he's, like, got, like, more range of motion than he's had in 5 years. Like, you know, yeah. it's like super impactful, you yeah. know, for such a little thing.
Yeah.
And then he came, you know, my husband and me, I was sitting on the floor, and he played it on my back, and, it was just such a simple thing that really just stuck with me. It just stuck with me. The feeling that I got from it and seeing how impactful it was just for him to play it on somebody 30 seconds. I was like, wow, this is really impactful. And the sound and the sensation that I felt in my body. And so I started to seek that knowledge. And so after that day, I ended up going to a few sound baths and, you know, drug my kids along to a few sound baths. And, you know, at first they're all kind of like, we're going to some weird thing. And, you know, it's so stereotypical too. It's like the guy playing has like a little beard and a white linen shirt yeah. and, you know, and like little like swami pants, yeah. you know what I mean? And he's like, hugs all around, you know?
Totally, right? Yes.
So it's like, it's so much that, and I thank my kids for being with me for all of that. And so that was my introduction to sound medicine and how powerful it is. And so then I started thinking, okay, like this is a way to hold space with people. And I started thinking, okay, how can I bring in my own personal meditation practice? How can I share that with people? Because it brings me so much peace. So how can I share that with people? And how can I share my gentle movement practice with people? So that's kind of what I've been creating through my holistic therapy practice, is that when people are sharing space with me, it's not like this is your prescription, we're gonna do this today. We don't know what we're gonna do. We're just gonna meet and talk and see what feels good. And so that's more, you know, that's the form of midwifery, of being with people, that I'm kind of carrying right now. And in terms of like how that all interconnects with the nature school is Timber Creek Farm and Forest School. And my husband and I started it. I think this will be our seventh summer. This will be our seventh year. So it's I mean, it's a traditional. It's year round. It's regular school September to June, and then there's summer camps all through the summer. But it was born out of, my husband used to be an iron worker, and he sustained a really, really bad back injury. He didn't work for like 4 years. It was a life altering back injury, and during that time, the doctors were like, get the surgery, you know, you've got L&I, like, take the pills and take the surgery, right, and then go back to work, right? And I just kept telling him, like, babe, don't do that. That is, whoo, I know that, you know, but I'm just like, look at the friend that did that, who's now having their third surgery. Look at the friend that did that and is addicted to the pills. Like, just, there's so much. So he, not knowing anything about any of the craziness that I'm like, let's go to Nuka Chiropractic and let's get acupressure and yeah. acupuncture and, you know, all these, you know, all these kind of things, right?
Yeah,
and so he still has chronic back pain. He does have chronic back pain, but in a very, it's very, I mean, I don't even want to say that it's managed. It's just, the reality is that he damaged part of his body in a certain kind of way. And you have to create a sense of mind where you recognize that this pain is not there to harm you, it's there to assist you. So it is almost like a conduit, I feel like, for him. And I don't want to give his story, but from my perspective as his wife, it's a way that his body talks to him and says, just slow down a little bit. You know, this was a little much. Let's just take it easy. And so the nature school was born out of him wanting to do something as a new career, and he wanted it to be impactful. Like, he was like, I don't want to just go do blah blah blah, you know. If they're going to pay for me to go to school or get training or whatever, you know, I want to go that route. So we asked our kids, like, okay guys, what do you think dad would should do? And they were like, oh, he should be a coach or a teacher or something. And yeah, Mal's like, a teacher. He's like, I don't know. You know, just thinking about being in a classroom, like real traditional teacher.
Yeah.
And at that same time, we had just found our property at that time. And I started doing some research. I was like, oh, well, what about like some, because he's like a true outdoorsman. You know, he can build anything. On our second date, I was like, so, you know, kind of like, kind of coy, but I was being actually dead honest.
Yeah, girl.
I was like, you know, I just watched this little docuseries about this guy named Dick Prenicky. Have you ever heard of him before?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay, so Dick Prenicky, when he was like in his late 50s, he went out by float plane into the Alaskan wilderness, had them drop him there. And, you know, they just come back every 6 months. Are you?
Yes, and they bring him all the wood and stuff. They're like log cabins.
They bring
like,
him, yeah. No, they don't bring him the wood.
He gets the wood.
He cuts the wood and does what? They just bring him like sugar and salt and stuff like for 6 months of the year, right?
Wow, okay.
And he was out there like building. I don't know what it was, but I was just so attracted to that. I was like, this is a man who can build and protect. And like, this is real man stuff.
Yeah.
Just me. Like, that's right. Just me, you know? So then like our second date, I was like, well, could you build a house? Like, could you build me a house?
You build me a house?
Yeah. And yeah. I was being dead serious.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he didn't even skip a beat. He was like, yes, I could definitely build you a house. And I was done at that point. I was like,
I love it.
Oh. I'm yours. I was like, he can build me a house, and he's hot, and he's kind, and he's now awesome, and he's a musician. Oh,
you got it all. Grand package, girlfriend. High five. There we go. And now, so he started the nature school through, yes, like, his free time?
No. He went back to college. So he got his degree in early childhood education. So he went back to college, spent that time. And then he did his teacher training at a place called Cedar Song. Now, Cedar Song is on Vashon Island, and it was one of the very first 100% outdoor kindergartens in the entire United States. And it was founded by this gal named Erin Kenny. Now, Erin Kenny was an environmental attorney, and she saw that all the crud that she was seeing was happening because kids didn't know. Kids were not connected to the source. Mm-hmm. So she left her law career and she started Cedar Song. And Matt was part of the very last class of interns that got to actually learn directly from her, because she ended up passing away from pancreatic cancer.
Oh my gosh.
So I remember Matt's second day there at his teacher training, he called me and he was just like, it's just so different. Like, I don't know. It's just so different. And I was like, well, what do you mean it's just so different? Tell me. I want to know. And he just couldn't really articulate it. And now that we have our own nature school, now that we have interns, you know, now that we have people that come and spend time with us, for them to learn, they have that same thing. Like, oh, this is different. And what's different is that nature school is awesome. Being outside, learning about animals is awesome, and animal tracking is awesome, and all those things is awesome. But the broader perspective, like the bigger picture, is that we have to care for all of this in order for it to exist. You know, we don't have the hike in the woods with the bugs and the frogs if we're not caring for the woods, if we're throwing litter everywhere.
Right.
You know? And so at the basis of all of that is self-awareness. At the basis of caring for animals and turtles, not getting like those... You ever seen those pictures of the turtles have like those little six rings from the soda pop? Around their neck. Like, you have to care. So empathy and compassion. And then just the knowledge being passed down, which is very lost because that used to be a very traditional thing amongst traditional cultures, was passing down knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, essentially what, I mean, Matt is really beautiful at it, is he's creating his own tradition of passing this knowledge and wisdom about how do we speak to each other? How do we speak to the world around us? And holding just the most profound, compassionate space. Like, you can feel angry and crazy. That's okay. Let's let it move through us. And let's not harm anyone else or anything else in the process.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just... And so that's what was different at Cedarsong. Like, he felt that, like, even though we had our five kids and we were doing our thing, you know, we recognized that we were not necessarily holding a compassionate space for their growth. Which was because we weren't there yet. We, as mom and dad, weren't there yet as individuals. And so now with the nature school, we get to see our kids just, we get to see our kids. They come out sometimes and help out, and for them to just love it. And I always ask them, so how was it? And they're like, oh, it was actually pretty good. You know, they're like 16, 17, you know, but they're loving it. And the kids have a lot of freedom. We don't have, it's not structured. The nature school isn't structured. So what that means is there's no plan for the day that's already laid out. Like, we might have ideas. Like, right now, spring is upon us. So we have the idea that we need to get the potatoes planted and we need to get the peas planted and we need to do these things. And typically the kids are totally gung-ho, but kids are able to follow kind of their own interests, but they also see that there's hard work involved in getting, you know, as my husband says, like, we're going to plant French fries today because kids can relate to that.
Oh,
you know what I
cute.
Mean? So
okay.
Kids get pretty excited about planting French fries. You know?
I love that.
Yeah, they're not so excited about planting salad. So, so we just go kind of with whatever they're feeling, whatever their vibe is, and really being able to connect with each child, because every kid is different. I mean, we have kids from, I mean, that are every everything. So we have kids whose parents say, well, will my kid be able to come? Because they have sensory processing disorder. So sometimes they do this. Perfect. This is awesome. Yes, we want them to come. Well, my kid has this oppositional defiance. Great. Have them come. Yep. It'll be great.
Come on.
It'll be perfect.
Because nature really heals everybody.
It heals. I mean, it heals. And when you hold a space where there is no judgment and we're not getting upset because a kid's acting this way, or we're not feeling indignant like that little punk talked to me. No. What? Why?
Right.
Why would we be taking something personal that a four-year-old is experiencing? They don't know. They do not know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're learning from the adults.
They need guidance and they need the space to be held compassionately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what we do. And I kind of think of it as like whole child development, like really holistic development, because that's what we believe is kind of that missing thing. Like, school right now, if kids leave and they go into the public school system, it is very, you know, we're gonna give you academic intelligence, you know, we're gonna give you intelligence with how to work with numbers, and, you know, all of those things are great for the sciences and STEM and all this stuff that we heard him talking about, but none of it can actually be practical if people don't know how to communicate.
Absolutely.
It's like, what are we doing here?
The number one thing.
Right.
Communication is so hard.
Exactly.
And nowadays with social media and phones, kids are communicating even less.
Exactly.
And it's really more dangerous to sit inside behind your phone than it is to go outside and go play.
Exactly.
Like, it's better to be out there interacting, socializing with other children. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And when kids learn in a supportive environment how to manage their own emotions, that it's okay to feel certain ways, that leads to good communication. That yeah. that's like the seed being planted.
Absolutely, because they're not being shamed for mm-hmm. having these emotions.
No,
mm-hmm. you know, for being weak, crying, right. or yeah. all those different mm-hmm. stigmas and. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. man. I'm just, like, sending my heart out to all the kids out yes, there and, I like, know. All the inner children inside I of know. Us as well.
Right. Yes.
Because I'm like, definitely. Man, I know when I feel like I was bullied. I have a memory when I was probably, mm-hmm. 6 years old being bullied for having Barbie light-up shoes. And it killed my heart because I love Barbie. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that, Heather. But for real, though, like, yeah, these are serious. Traumas. It really does mm-hmm. kind of sit with you. And it's like, it might not be a big mm-hmm. deal, but it did change you in a way. Mm-hmm. When it's like being shamed for this emotion, being, you know, outcasted for this mm-hmm. or judged for that, or compared mm-hmm. to, like you said, academically, mm-hmm. when it's, you know, training you to get into these colleges. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an institution.
Right.
It's called
right.
an institution. Like,
yes.
That doesn't sound kind of fishy. Like, I don't want to be institutionalized. I know. I never, school always with me too. It's like, I don't know. And I love to hear about this nature school that you're doing Yay! And this space that you're holding. So, what you teach kids how to, so now it sounds like planning French fries.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
learning about the seasons. Like, I mean, what do you do? What are the age limits?
Totally. It's everything. So, because it is a year-round school. So, we have the regular, like, preschool and kindergarten is September to June, and then we have summer camps. So, this year, oh, my gosh, the emails every day. There's people, like, emailing, when is summer camp? When is summer camp? You know, because now COVID. And for some families, we've had families that come out. So what we do is before any kids come, we do, like, a tour. Like, we have the parents come with the little kiddo, and they walk around. And this is just us being able to just see them with their safe people. Normally, your parents are your safe people. And, you know, see how they, you know, how they are. And anyhow, through these tours that we've had recently as we prepare for summer camps, we've met a lot of families who have been on actual still lockdown this whole time because their baby was born premature and so has really weak lungs, like maybe a sibling of their kid. So they're like, we can't risk that. So they work from home. Amazon delivers all their groceries. Wow. They've been on lockdown. Their five-year-old has not been around one single child.
Oh my gosh.
This is happening. This is still happening. We are 1 year post, and this is the reality for still families. So we're super excited for the summer camps to start up. But yeah, anything nature. We've got goats and pigs and chickens and all that. I mean, anything and everything. They're involved in all, but we've got the forest, so we go nature hiking and animal tracking and building stuff and
so much fun.
All the nature things.
So it's preschool and kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great age, too, because mm-hmm. you're setting that tone, the examples already, and mm-hmm. talking about communication,
right.
emotions, mm-hmm. normalizing these things.
Yes. And we have older kids, too. So our program used to be preschool and kindergarten, but now it goes up into elementary school.
Oh, nice.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Sumner Grade wildfires that happened in September. There's like huge wildfires over there. Yes.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. I mean,
it's super random, right? At like the huge freeway too over there.
Exactly. Just kind of burned. Yeah. Yeah. So that like came literally to our front door.
Oh, you're
burned
over there.
Burned down a tiny house that us and our kids like built with our bare hands. Like my husband like chopped the cherry trees down from our property, dried the wood, stained the wood, you know, like all of it. Like it was built by hand.
This,
you know, so, and that was the music room for the nature school and the art space for the nature school. So that happened. And this year was supposed to be the year that we started our official elementary school program. Like we officially have an elementary program. We felt like the timing was really good considering that a lot of kids were having to do computer-based stuff and all of that. So we were like, okay, kids that need to do computer-based stuff, they can bring their computers and then they can go outside when they're done with their whatever online session. And then if they need support, we're there to support them. There's going to be other adults there. Yeah, that happened. The fire happened. So that kind of like went whew, out of the window. So we have, the elementary school age kids that we have now are kids who have been in the program from the beginning. Like they started with us when they were 4 or 5. Now they're 9 or 10, you know, so they just keep coming and it supplements their it's, well, I don't even want to say supplement. It's just part of their learning curriculum, you know, so, like a living education.
Right, because I was wondering, because I know, right, like with schooling, because there is probably some sort of criteria you have to teach the kids. So is it like...
There is not.
Okay, see, I'm wondering about that. Like homeschool, because I think I had a coworker who was like, the state told me I have to teach this.
Oh,
and
well.
I wonder how that works. Like,
I mean... So I homeschooled for 12 years, and this year was the first year that one of the middle ones decided to go full-time to school, which I'm like, what a year to choose, because, you're online, and it is really, really troubling to him. It is actually emotionally traumatizing and troubling to him.
Wow.
It's tough, because I have friends that are teachers and stuff, but, whoa, the... Some of the things that they are learning are just missing the point of what is actually needed right now.
Yeah.
What teenagers need to be learning for their long-term health, which their long-term health, their long-term mental health is what the foundation of our society is going to be built on.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's kind of crazy. But no, with homeschooling, there are... your kiddo does have to either have a teacher come and kind of like assess kind of what they've learned throughout the year, or they can do actual standardized testing. So you can go kind of either way. But the law, the law states that homeschooling is experiential. So it's not, it can't really be codified. Like they need to learn this and this and this and this, you know, whereas in the public school system, it is like you have to have Washington State history and you need to have all these things to graduate.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, I think Washington is very, is a really great place if you want to give your kids the freedom to learn and explore on their own. What I evolved into was what is called radical unschooling.
Oh.
Which is like, you are, what do you want to learn? This house is open to you. The internet is open to you. All these books are open to you. What do you want to do? Do you want to, you want to take pottery? Okay, let's get you in pottery 3 days a week. You know, what do you want to learn? What is drawing you right now? So it's very self-directed and it's radical because there's also, even though our kids that go to public school, like we have two kids that are graduating high school this year.
Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy. I know, right?
Mama.
But it's really a lifestyle that you bring into your home. It's really about radical acceptance of allowing them the space to grow and learn and be who they are. Nobody's getting shamed or guilt tripped, you know, or yeah.
All of the above.
All of the above.
So, I love that approach because then it gives them space to figure out what they love and what they want to do and actually spend time and put intention into those things.
Right.
And nurturing it, not forcing you need to do this because this is what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love that. Honor that in you. It's amazing. Like, look up to you. It's so inspiring.
Yeah. So it's also challenging because a lot of people, and one of our kids right now is dealing with it that, you know, that's the route that he wanted to go. And then he's finding it to be a sharp learning curve entering into the system. Well, I'm like, yeah, I mean, if you have not been a part of a system and you are now being introduced to the system, you're going to have to figure out how the system works. That's part of the learning curve. This is something that we had talked about, you know. It's challenging because... you know, maybe even a teacher would say, well, how are they going to learn to write? Like, how are they going to learn? I'm like, well, kids naturally are curious and want to do things. So it is natural curiosity that is going to have them, you know, it's not as though you're just not doing anything with your kid. No, that it's the total opposite from that. You are deeply involved with your child.
Yeah.
You are deeply connected to your child. And so when they're curiosity is there for something, they're going to search and they're going to ask you to help them search and you're going to help them search and they're going to learn how to read the material that comes along with whatever they're interested in. They're going to learn how to communicate with the people that they need to talk to find out more about this. So it's not as if, you know, because you didn't learn how to write a college level essay in ninth grade, you know, you don't know how to do that. And you're now you're 16 and you don't know how to do that. Like, oh my gosh, it's the end of life. Well, it feels like that because of the way that the system is set up. It can make you feel like that. But in reality, let's spend a week. Let's learn how to write a freaking essay. We can do it. You know words. You know how to read. Let's put it together. You're only going to have to do this a few times. Yeah. You're not going to have to do it every single day. You just got to figure it out good enough with YouTube and all these other instruments that we can use that actually make learning incredibly easy to access, you know. And there's people all around you that can help you. And you can learn how to figure out how to do it for when you need to be able to do it. But it is a big, it's just a big jump. It's a big jump in ideology and understanding when you have this other 99% that just looks at you like you got three eyeballs. Like, you did what with your kid? What? You didn't, huh? You know, and then the kid, unfortunately, that is the hard part. That has been the hardest part. I feel like I can say for this one particular child of ours and for me is I was blind to the pressures, the societal pressures and levels that he was going to come up against because of the route. So even though their whole lives they've heard you can learn whatever you would like to learn. Just takes your time and your effort and your discipline, and you can learn anything that you want to learn. That's what they've heard their whole lives. But then you have society saying, well, you have to learn this by this age and this by this age and this by this age.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you can learn because you do have a brain, but you can only do it in this order. And if you don't do it in this order, then you're probably screwed up.
Right.
And then kids feel screwed up.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do it that way or in... That's my grandma mama coming through.
So how do you handle this, mama? You know.
I would say I was really reflecting. Last week I had... I just had the experience of gaining new self-awareness and insight. And that awareness that I gained was that when I was growing up, I was very protected, like super duper protected. And it sounds kind of crazy, but like I thought that violence was just in movies. Like I thought that that was a literal thing that was only in movies. It wasn't real life. That's how protected I was.
Wow.
So fast forward to me being just a deeply feeling, deeply sensitive, deeply intuitive person. I left home as a teenager. So I wasn't finished with high school and I left home and I said, I would rather take this journey on my own from here on out. So, and I kind of never looked back after that. And what I realized in this moment of self-awareness was that that safety that I was in, I tried to recreate that for my kids. But when I was growing up, there's just one of me. There's five of them. There's big five difference. Of them. And the friend that we brought in, you know, that doesn't have a home. So now there's six of them. And now, you know, so what I realized in my moment of clarity was that I was given this rare opportunity, a rare opportunity to be in peace a lot and find my own peace reading in books. I wasn't around violence or anything like that. It didn't exist in my world. It didn't exist. Now there were some other things that might have existed, which led me to leave home as a teenager, but they weren't things that I didn't feel like I could manage. Like I didn't leave like, I left very deliberately. Like I am doing this. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But that safety that I experienced, that's what I go back to within myself all the time, is that I realized at a very young age Once I realized that violence isn't just on TV, but it is actually in real freaking life, you know? I mean, I distinctly remember my dad was in the Army, and we had moved from Texas to Kentucky, and we were just getting set up in this house. It was like an in-between house while we were waiting for the house to close and all that stuff. And so I had like a little bunny ear TV, and I was in there, and the only channel that came on when I turned it on that night, and it was like the literal like click, click, click TV. It was a Feed the Children campaign. And there was like all of these Ethiopian children with these swollen bellies and these flies that were, you know, drinking liquid literally from the tears of these children's eyes. And I remember watching this, and that was actually at, I believe I was maybe 12. That was my first introduction to actually recognizing and knowing and feeling and understanding that, whoa, there's a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of pain in the world. And from that moment forward, I just knew that somehow, some way, I just wanted to help the world. You know, just that's, and I didn't know how I was going to do it or what kind of path. And I still don't know. I'm just making it up as I go. You know, I still don't know what is exactly is happening. But what I will say is that because I had such safe space growing up, I had like this space within me that was just safe. And so when I, became familiar with yoga, which that's a whole nother thing, because that was like evil devil, you know, crazy thing over here. So when I was pregnant with my first son, I went after we came back to the United States, because I was in Mexico when I was pregnant with him.
Living on the beach.
But yeah, living on the beach in a tent. That's for another day.
Hey, but you go, queen.
Right? You go. But once I got introduced to yoga and meditation, then I was like, oh, that's actually what this space is that I'm aware of inside myself. This is a meditative space. This is a, and so that, you know, where do I go when all of the life and everything is happening is just, I feel like I go to the safe space, and then I just let the safe space like just kind of like wash over my whole body, so that I know I am safe. Everything is good. These things are happening. And I don't need to be attached to them. I don't need them to ruin my day. I don't need my poor attitude or negative thoughts to ruin anybody else's day. And I cannot help anyone. I can't help my son who's struggling. I can't help my husband who's, you know, diagnosed with cancer and is on this emotional roller coaster. I cannot help anybody if I am not within myself feeling whole and deeply connected to myself and to God. And so that's, I just have to just find that peace and let it wash over me. And I can't really say that I have like a regular meditation practice. It's like my life is kind of like a living meditation. I met one time with Paula and Maya, and Paula said to me, she said, well, have you done a walking meditation before? And I really thought a lot about that. And over the months, I just started thinking, well, I kind of am a walking meditation, like all the time. Like I'm always just trying to make sure that I'm in my space so that I can offer what I want to offer to the world, which is for them to find peace and, you know,
yeah, and that's so beautiful, because it's like, that's all it boils down to. I feel like at the end of the day, like, we gotta wash ourselves with unconditional love, faith, trust, you know, and then we can show up for other people. Then we can be in service, be this, you know, steward. I love your energy. Like, you really do have this presence, you know, with you, and just being in your yin class last night. I mean, Divine. And I look up to you and I look up to that because I'm really, for me and my energy, I know like that's hard for me to do. And so now I'm finally taking that time because now I've reached the point in my life where spirit's smacking me in the face and it says, no more. You have to cleanse your energy. Like, it's done. Like, I can't, like you said, I can't like show up with negativity to myself. You're really just bringing love all over the world. And I think it's so amazing. You know, you went from midwifery, you learned a new word today, midwifery.
Yeah.
To now you're expanding this space to a whole school and children and these new souls, really. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. Do you guys ever see yourself expanding your nature school?
Oh, yeah. We've thought about... I mean, the really hard thing is that, you know, it's not just about the nature school. It's about the people who...
Right.
Who,
the message, know,
it's about,
right?
It's about my husband. It's about the energy that he brings. I mean, oh, my gosh. He brings... Just, oh my gosh, these kids are in love with Teacher Matt. Teacher Matt. They love Teacher Matt.
Oh, you know, love it.
I think some of the moms like Teacher Matt too, but you know. He's just a lovable guy.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But it's really the energy of the people. And we have a new teacher. Her name's Kira. She's totally awesome. And so the main thing to expanding is just we have to continue to connect with people who can bring that vibe, who can come every day, you know, and it is not to say that some days are just challenged days, like we're just challenged, you know,
right.
And like in the space of the nature school, I might, even though maybe Teacher Matt and I haven't talked about it at all, but you know, maybe we're getting, everybody's been dropped off and we're like, hey, what does everybody have for share and tell? And you know, I might just be like, you know, guys, I just noticed, is there somebody here who seems a little bit sad this morning? And they're like, Teacher Matt seems a little bit sad, you know? And we're like, oh, well, maybe we can ask Teacher Matt if there's something he needs, if there's something we can do to help him.
Aww.
So it's just, you know, knowing that not every day is going to be like this fantastic, awesome, we're feeling great, but it's the soul of it. It's the energy of just being aware of how people are feeling around us and honoring where they are in that moment. And checking in, seeing if there is something that we can do. And yeah, some days it's Teacher Matt, you know, saying, Teacher Tanika, do you need a hug? But then the kids see that behavior modeled and they start checking in with their friends.
Yes,
you know,
that's so
like,
powerful.
Like, Nora, I noticed this. Or, you know, Miles, I noticed this. What's going on? So they start checking in on each other. So they're just, So it's we want to grow it, but we understand that the right type of growth is when the right people come that, you know, we can grow with.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
People who really care, truly showing up with compassion,
exampling
these things. And the realness, right? Because that's the realness of life.
Mm-hmm.
Not every day is going to be peachy keen.
Right.
But how do we face that? How do we have these conversations?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like for me growing up, it's all these kind of emotional conversations got pushed under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew it, any time I had to have a conversation like that, I would bust into tears. And I couldn't even manage to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like such a throat chakra blockage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I love that just by exampling. And honestly, and to honor my partner too, Corey, like, he straight up, like, luckily has that calm energy where, does Rainbow need a hug?
Like,
yeah. I'm feeling a little cranky today. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep. Like, really, let's be real. Like, maybe I am hungry.
Right.
You know, instead of just, like, walking around with this big chip on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so kind when we can check in with each other and have that awareness, right?
Yes.
Like, that emotional awareness.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
I love you, Tanika.
I love you. I love you, girl.
Love you, my white buffalo queen over here. I don't know. I just said that because that was the card I pulled for you. It was this magical.
I loved it. I was looking at it. I'm super. Yeah.
And
I love this deck.
Feel
it's beautiful.
Like that just reminded me of what you said, like this kind of walking meditation that you are, like this energy you said that you have within you. That mm-hmm. was like what I read about the card was that white buffalo energy mm-hmm. and just how it emanates through your being. Mm-hmm. And so now I just think of that when you mentioned that, mm-hmm. how it is this kind of this light that you put over yourself mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. peace and mm-hmm. it's almost like spiritually filling your cup.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And I mean, it is. Ooh, I mean, it's challenging. It's always so challenging.
Right?
Sometimes. Like, some days I do. I just feel like the queen, you know? But other days I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's a journey. We're all like surfing. We're all riding right? the wave. Yes. Always riding this wave of yes. life. And mm-hmm. like you said, as long as we have compassion mm-hmm. for the journey, compassion for others.
Totally.
We're all trying our best. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know what? Who knows what's going exactly. on with the planets? You know, the planets mm-hmm. affect us a mm-hmm. lot. This moon energy, yes. like astrologically. Mm-hmm. So being tapped in kind of with the universe and mm-hmm. the all of that stuff really helps a lot too.
Totally. But, oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm looking forward to the full moon coming
yes.
up.
When is this coming
good.
Up?
The 28th.
The 28th. Yeah. Okay, are you leading so a full moon circle or anything?
I am. I'm super stoked.
Okay, I have to be there.
Yes, I
that's
know.
Like only a couple
somebody
days away.
Somebody asked me, so what are you going to do? What's it going to be like? I'm like, I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
Whatever we
literally,
need that day.
Exactly.
Like, it'll come to you. Spirit will always tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love is your approach as well with the nature school. Mm-hmm. It's like we're going to feel out where everyone mm-hmm. is.
Right.
And then assess mm-hmm. it naturally mm-hmm. instead of, you know, and it's organic instead of this.
Right.
Now mm-hmm. you force you to do that. No wonder kids, they say, oh, you have ADD. It's like, no, I just don't want to do it.
Exactly.
Like, that's really how it was for me growing up. Even my partner Corey can name that. Mm-hmm. It's like they try and give you these drugs and it's like, no, I'm not focusing because I'm not interested.
Exactly.
Just like creating this cycle mm-hmm. of and then it starts drug abuse right. at a really
exactly.
young age.
Exactly.
Is that like amphetamines? Yeah. I can't even, you're giving a kid amphetamines to focus. You're literally giving a small dose of meth to stay in school. Like what?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but like keep it at 100. always. Yeah, no.
Yeah. My husband and I have talked a lot about that because we, first of all, my husband, even right now going through chemotherapy, he is the energizer.
Really?
Bunny. He has always, his whole life, just had enough energy for 5 people. He cannot, he just go.
Sounds
go,
like
go,
me.
Go,
is he a Gemini?
Go. He is a Pisces.
Yes.
No. Yes. He is a go guy.
Go.
And
happy belated birthday.
Yes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He is a go guy. And we have talked about this idea that some of these labels of ADD or ADHD are not always helpful because of what's done once the label is applied.
Mm.
Meaning, okay, so I'm going to take my kiddo to the doctor, and now I have this label. So now what does this mean? Now they have this. Now, I know as a mom, okay, I'm justified. My kid is really over the top and super, super active and this and this and this. But now what does that mean? Does that mean just let's just straight give some medication? Or does that mean perhaps maybe we do the medication, but maybe we also start getting him more involved in some outdoor things or in a sport or in something that allows their physical energy to have a place to go.
An outlet.
Totally. Because what we notice is one of our kids who, and I mean, there's a whole another topic, but ADHD and ADD is also linked to childhood trauma. So things that happen in birth, it's the nervous system just kind of going because it's a little misregulated, you know? And so, but that's a whole nother topic.
That's okay. It's interesting.
So there's a lot to go along with it. But again, it's like you get the diagnosis. One of our kiddos definitely has ADHD. And we got the diagnosis. We decided against medication. He didn't want to do the medication. and figuring out, okay, so how do we get this energy out? Because literally, even with all of the activities, still so much energy, you know? So it really is really just about investigating and being with that child and not resenting. I mean, there's all of these, there's just a lot of feelings when you have kids, you know? You want to feel like you're a good parent, and then sometimes these type of things make you feel like, well, I'm not a good parent, and it's all just the wrong way to look at it all. It's just all messed up. You know, we're just all humans. We're just all working with what we got. We got who knows what in the food that we're eating, who knows what in the air that we're breathing, who knows what coming through the technology that we're seeing.
So true.
We are being bombarded from so many angles, you know, so we just got to take a deep breath, you know. But one thing that we noticed with our son that has ADHD is that with the COVID and the shutdown is that he just doesn't know what to do because he can't go play basketball, you know. And of course we have a farm. There's ways he can get his energy out. But at the same time, you know, he's a teenager. So it's hard sometimes with that self-motivation aspect. But we've seen it. Like, the energy begins to stew, like, in your mind, you know. And it's like, how can we get that moving through your body, you know? And so it's a challenge and it's real, but I think that what I'm still further investigating is, what do we do with the realness? Does the realness of ADD and ADHD, what does it mean? You know, my husband and I have talked a lot about, you know, just the evolution of what we have become as people. Like, it was 100 years ago, we were having to work hard and toil. So the person with ADHD would have just been the hardworking person that was getting all the things done.
Right.
Because that's what they would be doing. They'd be going around the farm, getting everything done all the time. They'd be reliable because everything would be getting done. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the energy that you have to bring. But the new society that we're creating, there's hardly anything that needs that kind of energy anymore.
Right.
We don't need that. What do we need that for?
Yeah, we've got robots that do
that. We work from home. We're on our computers. We're, you know, not to say that that's necessarily bad, but it's just to begin to think, to like literally have a little bit of a paradigm shift about what is ADD? What does it mean? What does it mean? How does it connect to our past? And what does it mean moving forward into our future?
Right.
You know, it's,
and also related to like their purpose, right?
Exactly.
So like you said, it's like that energy. He has this fire inside of him. He has this energy. It's like he's meant to do some big things with this energy.
Totally.
Right. So how do you find that outlet? And how do you not mask it with a label or a Band-Aid or a medication, right? When it's this energy could be channeled to do something great.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, as a parent, like honoring you for investigating that and looking into that and holding space where it's like, all right, let's try and figure it out instead of just, okay, give you a drug and then now it's supposed to be all better.
Mm-hmm.
When, I mean, an embodiment, I feel like, is just so powerful for some. I mean, everyone in general, we need to move our bodies.
Yes.
We need to get it out of our head into our body, ground ourselves, sweat, move this stagnant energy in us. Otherwise, it can build up as anger and all these other, who knows? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm with you.
Shake it out. Gosh, I feel like this has been a good share. Thank you so much, Tanika, for just bringing all this wisdom to us. I mean, how can people find you, get in contact with you?
So they can connect through the Nature School website, which is timbercreekfarmandforest.com. Or they can connect to my personal website, which is my name, TanikaFortin.com.
How do you spell that for people?
Ooh, Tanika is T-I-N-N as in Nancy. E-C-A.
There we go, because I had trouble spelling your name first time. I was like,
that's the first name. And then Fortin, F-O-R-T-I-N.
Awesome.
Yep, TanikaFortin.com. And it has, you know, all the goodies on there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these goodies with the world.
Yes.
And continuing to spread this light. And I'm just so happy to know you and share this space with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. And we'll have to do this again soon, definitely, because I mean, we barely still scratch the surface. So you know, you little knowledge bug, like you said, you're gonna keep learning more. And next time we chat, you're gonna have a whole nother thing we can gab about. Mm-hmm. And totally. Yeah, I just keep sharing the magic. Mm-hmm. So I love you. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you.
And thank you,
so
everyone,
much.
For being here.
Thank you.
Blessings. Mm-hmm. If you enjoyed this podcast, reach out. You can leave a comment, review, subscribe. You can find me on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and have my own website. It's Celestial Goddess Podcast. That is spelled CELESTIALGODDESS. Also, if you feel called to donate, please feel free. I appreciate all the support to grow and to reach more people. I'm just grateful we're growing together and we're doing the work together. So thank you for being here. I love you forever.